Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. And we thank you, Lord, that the only voice we listen for instructions from is the voice of the Holy Spirit and what he has to say to us, because he is the Spirit of truth. He leads us into all truth, and he knows the truth, and he knows your mind, Father. So we listen, we tune in, we clear out every other frequency that has tried to speak to us today, and that's in the atmosphere around us. We clear it out, and we ask for the Holy Spirit's frequency to be louder, more pronounced, and to be understood clearly without any static or any kind of noise in the background. Lord, we just ask for your clear voice in this place today. And Father, I say that you will show us things we've never seen, and show us a side of you we've never seen, and say things to us that we have never heard from your word before, Father. Give us a different layer, another layer of what your word says, for even things that we've read over and over again. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, for signs following the word of God to be performed and to be started and completed in the lives of everyone who hears this message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. So today our lesson is continuing on renewing the mind. And we're going to talk today about guilt, shame, and condemnation. Woo! The triplets that like to hang out together. So let's go to our first scripture, Romans 8:1. I want us to look at the scripture there. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. And I will find it with you so that I give you the allotted time to find it, right? Instead of read it off the paper like I have it. Romans 8:1. And I'm reading from the Amplified, and here's what it says. Therefore, there is now no condemnation, no adjudging guilty of wrong for those who are in Christ Jesus, who live and walk not after the dictates of the flesh, but after the dictates of the Spirit. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, meaning the law of our new being, has freed me from the law of sin and death. Verse 3, for God has done what the law could not do, its power being weakened by the flesh, the entire nature of man without the Holy Spirit, sending his own Son in the guise of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin. God condemned sin in the flesh. He subdued, overcame, deprived it of its power over all who accept that sacrifice. And we know that sacrifice being Jesus. So that the righteous and just requirement of the law might be fully met in us who live and move, not in the ways of the flesh, but in the ways of the Spirit. Our lives governed not by the standards and according to the dictates of the flesh, but controlled by the Holy Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh and are controlled by its unholy desires. So I want you to hook into that word. The flesh equals to unholy desires. Okay. Set their minds on and pursue those things which gratify the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit and are controlled by the desires of the Spirit set their minds on and seek those things which gratify the Holy Spirit. That verse alone shows you in verse 5, Romans 8:5, shows you the mindset of two desires. You see that? We're talking about renewing the mind, right? So we have the mindset of two desires. One is of the flesh and one is of the Spirit. You see that? Okay. So let's go back to verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation, no adjudging guilty of wrong for those who are in Christ Jesus, who live and walk not after the dictates of the flesh, but after the dictates of the Spirit. So where is there no condemnation? In the Spirit walk, right? Okay, now go to Galatians 5. Okay. Galatians chapter 5, and let's start with verse 1. And if you ever feel bound by anything in your life, like if a day you wake up and you're like, you know, I just feel down, I feel like the weight of the world and da-di-da-da, go to Galatians chapter 1, chapter 5 and verse 1. As a matter of fact, the whole book of Galatians is good for freedom stuff. But Galatians chapter 5 verse 1, it says, in this freedom, Christ has made us free and completely liberated us. Stand fast then and do not be hampered and held ensnared and submit again to a yoke of slavery which you have once put off. Let's go back to Galatians 4 and let's see what freedom he's talking about, okay? Let's go. Verse 28. But we, brethren, are children, not by physical descent, as was Ishmael, but like Isaac, born in virtue of promise. Yet just as at that time the child of ordinary birth, born according to the flesh, see, despised and persecuted him who was born remarkably according to the promise and the working of the Holy Spirit, so it is now also. But what does the scripture say? Cast out and send away the slave woman and her son, for never shall the son of the slave woman be heir and share the inheritance with the son of the free woman. So, brethren, we who are born again are not children of a slave woman, the natural, but of the free, the supernatural. So I want you to, when you have time, read Galatians 4, all the verses that precede what I just read. It gives you the comparison of Ishmael and Isaac's birth that shows you the flesh and the spirit. It's a good comparison of that whole scenario if you're having trouble differentiating the two. It really explains it well, that Galatians chapter 4. So let's talk a minute here, and we see that to renew your mind concerning guilt, shame, and condemnation. And I couple them together. These verses talk about condemnation, but guilt and shame come with condemnation. It's just they're just like the sidekicks. You have to make a choice. This is the first thing you have to decide. The choice you're making is this. Do I want to live according to the flesh? Or do I want to live according to the Holy Spirit? Now, this is not saying that you can't pray heaven and earth down for stuff to happen on earth. You could pray for political things to change. You could pray for all kinds of stuff to happen. And it happens. But when it comes to your own life, you have made a choice to live your life by the flesh or by the Spirit. You understand what I'm saying? So, don't get confused that because you could do something spiritual, like when you pray and things happen spiritually, that meant that you've made the choice to live your life by the Holy Spirit versus by your flesh. That's not true. I'll tell you, the story that comes to mind, which I don't know where it is yet, but I know it's in the New Testament, so you can look it up, because it was in when Jesus was here and the disciples came to him and said, we heard that these guys over there are preaching something, like they're pretending like they were taught by you and they're preaching the gospel, but they're not of you or of John or whatever. Should we go over there and like stone them or something? I don't know what they want to do. And Jesus, what? Oh, they want fire down on them. They want to call fire down on them. And Jesus said, no, you don't even know what you're talking about. What difference does it make? They're still sharing the stuff. You know, Jesus is like, however it comes out, it comes out. But my point being, they didn't personally do anything, but they were saying all this stuff about Jesus. But Jesus didn't care. He was like, his word is getting thrown out there. It gives me an example of my own life. When I was in my 20s and my first job as a right out of grad school, I was a sales rep, you know, for the rug company. So we went to this big home show conventions that they have in Las Vegas. The first time I was in Las Vegas, I don't think I'd want to go back unless I have to. But we were there, and every hotel, of course, have a casino and a bar and the whole thing. So all the morning meetings would be at the bar. I was just like, this is like amazing to me. So here I am sitting at the bar having to have a meeting with everybody that's drunk. I'm probably the only one not drunk. So it's really interesting, actually, to watch. I didn't have smartphones back then because that would have been a good YouTube video. But I remember this colleague of mine, he was from South Africa, an older gentleman, and he was sitting next to me, and somebody was talking about God in a derogatory term and about Jesus and stuff, and he knew I was Christian. The person was talking to me, kind of like, ride me up, you know, and he's drunk and carrying on. And I was just sitting there smiling. I had no intentions of having a conversation with a drunk. So, because they didn't know what they were doing, they didn't know what they were talking about. All of a sudden, this colleague of mine who was drunk says, you don't know anything about the gospel to this guy. The gospel of Jesus. And he starts telling from the New Testament everything. You know how Stephen, when he's being stoned, he told the whole story about Moses when they That was kind of the scenario. This guy talked about Jesus, how he did all these miracles, and then they crucified him, and they weren't supposed to. And I mean, he did, though. I was just sat there in amazement. I was shocked. And so here were two drunks having a conversation about Jesus. Who am I to interrupt? I thought, this is like entertainment city right here. I mean, it changed the entire conversation. For the whole meeting was about these two guys talking about Jesus. I was just like, hey, works for me. You know what I'm saying? So the point is, though, however, this guy talking about Jesus, he obviously did not make personal commitments to be led by the Holy Spirit in his lifestyle, because since he came from South Africa to America, which had been probably months or years by now, he hadn't yet found the church. He had, you know, it's been a while since he's prayed, and all this is coming out in his little speech as he's downing the alcohol, which is just amazing to him. And so, you know, okay, right there, dictates of the flesh versus, but the word of God is seed. And you know, seed could be in a bag, and it could be anywhere, even if if it's not ready to, you know, like I could carry seeds. And then when I come upon ground that could handle it, I could plant it if I choose to. But it doesn't mean I'm a farmer. You see what I'm saying? It doesn't mean I'm a farmer. It just means I have seeds. So it's, you know, people will start telling the gospel because they heard it when they were in Sunday school. Now they're older, they're like out of their crazy mind, and they don't know what to do, and they start talking about everything they know. Well, that's something they know. But the word of God's alive, so whenever it's spoken and it's expressed, it actually brings forth fruit. You see? But some people's lives don't bring forth fruit, even though they are saying the word of God. So you wonder, what is the problem? The problem is the difference between living by the flesh and living by the Spirit. All right? So, according to Romans 8, we know that there is no condemnation for those who don't walk after the flesh. Right? Those who are in Christ Jesus and don't walk after the dictates of the flesh. So in order to not have condemnation in your life, here's the solution. We can all go home. Let's walk after the Spirit. Problem solved. You see? End of lesson. It's over. That is the solution. So how do we figure out if we are walking after the flesh? Well, the flesh and the Spirit both have desires, because that's what the verse says. The verse we read down in Romans. You know, the flesh has desires and the Spirit has desires. And both of them need our choice. They need our decision to be activated. So we decide who gets activated today. So when you're driving in the car and two people cut you off, you're like, I still have patience. I still have the fruit of the Spirit. As you're driving down, then car number three cuts you off. You're like, there's still one more apple left on the tree. still have more fruit than the Spirit in me. And then the last person does it. You go, the tree is empty. Okay. Then, you know, you went over to the flesh. The whole time, though. You know, the car driving thing is the perfect test for your fruit of the Spirit life. Do you know that? Have you ever thought that? This is a test you can do for yourself that nobody else has to be involved. It could be your this is what I do when we do premarital counseling. This is one of the tests I give the couples. You want to hear the test? One of the tests I give the couples is this. I want you, they switch, you know, so let's say the guy's the main driver. We'll start with him then. Okay. I tell the lady, when he's driving, I want you to tell him everything to do. Stop up here. Turn right. Every obvious thing, just say it. Watch out, there's a lady crossing the street. Are you going the right way? Just every single annoying instruction you can give. And see what your threshold is for the person driving. See what your threshold is for receiving instruction that are obvious. You know how many people on this planet will fail that test? But it is a true, secure leader that could hear an instruction of something they already know and be not fazed by it. And actually turn around and thank the person for their attention to their, you know, thing that they're doing. Doesn't that just seem like a dream to have that happen? Wouldn't that be just like a dream? Sometimes, I think I've done this, you know, because I'm giving everybody a test. I have to see, can I pass the test too? Well, you know, I could care less about driving. So I've asked Gabriel to do that for me. And it has to be unannounced. So it's not like you're preparing yourself. Okay, today's my test day. I just tell this couple, you just do it. And do it with the children in the car if you have children. Do it with other people in the car. That's even more of a higher level of the test. Because why? Because we think when somebody has to tell us what to do, that for some reason they think we are deficient in knowledge and we're not perfect. Well, guess what? We are not perfect and we are deficient in knowledge. What's the big whoop? Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, in our family, you've heard me say this before, and I've told Doug this right in the beginning of our marriage. I said, honey, I don't care how mad you get at me if I tell you, did you see that car? Because I am not going to be the one standing in the emergency room going, I saw the car, but I didn't want to say anything because I didn't want you to be mad. I said, I have no issues with you being mad ever about anything. Your anger does not faze me from giving you my help because that's my job. So, we'll just set that up right now, the beginning of our marriage, so we can work with it throughout, and we don't have a problem. Ever so often, if it becomes a problem, then we have a discussion about it, or I realize I'm being too bossy, and I have to deal with it. You understand? Because it can go the other way. You know what I'm saying? You can sit in the car with somebody, they're just bossy. They're not being helpful, they're just being bossy. That's different. You understand? Or they're just bringing in a lot of fear because they're afraid of getting into an accident. So they're all like, Well, that's not helpful either, all right? So that's a good test for yourself. And if you're driving alone, test yourself. What is your level of anger? What if somebody is driving 10 miles an hour below the speed limit? What are you going to do? I mean, what are you going to do? Who are you yelling at? They can't hear you. Think about a solution. That's all you have to do. Think about a solution. If you don't want to be stuck behind a car going 10 miles under the speed limit, you think of a solution. Pray and say, God, please, could you help me out here? Or ask the Holy Spirit to give you another direction that you could take yourself. There is a solution. You understand what I'm saying? But you yelling and screaming, getting yourself all upset about it, is not the solution. That is following the dictates of the flesh. Because we know the Holy Spirit is capable of giving us direction when we're stuck between water and rock or an army, right? We know he did that for children of Israel. right? We know that when a city is walled with no way in, like Jerusalem, and it's your city that you're supposed to have and you're supposed to take, we know that the Holy Spirit has a way to get you in by walking around with no sound and then rejoicing on the seventh day, right? And then everything came down and you just walk in. Those are the solutions that the Holy Spirit has. I think he can have some solutions for some of our fleshly issues. But we have to know when to switch to Holy Spirit desire and leave off the flesh. We live in the flesh body. It's going to rise up. You have to be the one to tell it. Not today, I don't think so. All right? So, let's look at the whole concept of condemnation. I gave you Galatians 3, right? You have that in your notes for Galatians 3. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ purchased our freedom, redeeming us from the curse or the doom of the law and its condemnation. The law brings with it condemnation. By himself becoming a curse for us, for it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree or is crucified. We agree Jesus was crucified, right? So we know then that he took the curse for us. The curse has with it condemnation. So he already took that for us. So we have to know that. That's another renewing the mind concept. You have to renew your mind to that. It is truth. It is what's reality more than the other stuff. But if we don't renew our mind to it, we will still be stuck in old slavery, bond servant type mentality. Okay? Okay. So how do you renew your mind in this area? I actually have points 1 through 5. Wow. Okay. Number one, you have to determine for the rest of your life. This is a determination for the rest of your life. Who your leader is going to be. Is it the Holy Spirit or is it now? Is it your past? I'm putting the word flesh, I'm putting it on your past. Because it's only your flesh that can regurgitate that mess. You understand? Because in God's setup and design, which the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, so the Holy Spirit will always hook into God's word for any strategy or setup he gives us. In God's design, the past that has nothing to do with your future is put in a sea of what? Forgetfulness. So the Holy Spirit doesn't go back to the sea fishing. He don't go fishing for your future. He already has it. He knows what it's supposed to be. So you have to make the choice that you are going to be led by Holy Spirit and not the past, be it pretty or ugly. Because here's what happens. The past is still your flesh, no matter whether it was good or bad. So let's say you were the homecoming queen. Do you know how many people live in that? They're 50 years old, and they're still living like they're the homecoming queen. Everybody has to bow to them. Are you kidding me? Do you know what I'm saying? That's the past. That's living according to the flesh. That's the past. Likewise, if you were not the homecoming queen and quite the opposite, and you're still living like you are still that thing, then you too are living according to the flesh. You see that? So here are the two scenarios. Let's use the homecoming queen as an example. And I want to walk you through the scenario. All right? And my assignment sheet for you is that you are going to write it in your notebooks yourself. Because I realize everybody has their own notebook. What am I doing printing up? So put a big star on it because you need to do this exercise. You have to do this exercise. Give your mind a shockwave. Electrocute the past. Zap it with some power. All right? The homecoming queen and the not homecoming queen. Who would that be? Not homecoming queen. The opposite, okay? All right. What happens is this. I have over here in the assignment outside and inside. Condemnation wants to be the pressure of your life, okay? And it will either let you do the condemning yourself or bring people in that are experts at condemning. But for either of them to work, you have to be operating in the flesh to receive it. You understand what I'm saying? If you're living your life based on the Holy Spirit and His thoughts, His ideas of who you are, the plan that God gave Him about you that He's trying to work in you to actually fulfill, if you're living according to Him and His instruction, whenever inside or outside condemnation tries to come in, you have no desire to receive it, so it is automatically rejected. So, the homecoming queen would most likely be an outside condemner, right? Okay, let me explain. That person, that's so spelled wrong, that person would be the one that would pressure people into like different things. So like, you don't know how, blah, 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 blah. Drama queen, can we say that? Drama queen, okay? So if you're in their sphere of influence, you automatically pick up condemnation that they're throwing on you. By the way, they might have internal condemnation going on of themselves, right? Because their internal condemnation might be something like, how come everybody doesn't like you? It's not enough for 50% or 75% of the people that have voted and liked you. Why did not 100%? What is wrong with you? Now, for the not homecoming queen, the condemnation starts internally. So inside, they are already condemning themselves, that they're not pretty enough, smart enough, whatever the deal is with these homecoming queens. But they would have picked up a comparison. So we bring in the word competition. Competition and comparison. Okay? So they're picking up now, like, I want to be like this person, when in fact, they're both the same. They're both living off of the flesh and picking up condemnation. But they don't know that. They're trying to be each other, but they're already each other. Okay? So the not homecoming queen is self-condemning herself. So when somebody from the outside starts condemning, she already has information in her mind that agrees with it, with them. You're ugly. You're not popular. You're a nerd. Nobody likes you. She might as well say, you're not telling me anything I don't know. You see what I'm saying? Both of them are being led by the same thing, the flesh. The desires of the flesh. And you know what desire leads this? The desire that feeds this is to want to be accepted. Well, here's the deal. If you're a born-again believer, you have been accepted by the one who matters the most. Have you ever thought of that? The one who matters the most has just accepted you. Is that not good enough? Probably the only time you'll hear me say good enough. Okay? But see, when we walk after the flesh, we can't see the truth that the Holy Spirit is showing us in our value. So tell me, between the homecoming queen and the non-homecoming queen, whose kidneys are more valuable? Whose eyeballs are more valuable? Who gets more for the tooth? You do see when you really start comparing who God made you as a person, the difference is how you think about yourself. And where does that come in your mindset? Does it not? Because I'll tell you what, if they were selling off brains, your brain is going to cost the same as the other person's brain. If somebody had to have brain surgery, and one was the homecoming queen and one was not, they're both going to pay the same price to take out the same thing out of their brain. If one needs a heart transplant and the other does too, guess what? The same thing. There is no difference there. Even your physical body is not more expensive than another. Your individual body parts. But it's because of what you think about yourself that you end up devaluing who God already says you are, or who he's trying to tell you that you are. You are not conducive. The frequency is not coming in you because you are tuned into the flesh. Does that make sense? So the first thing, right, point number one, you have to choose who the leader is. And I'll give you two scriptures, Luke 4:1 and Romans 8:14. Romans 8:14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Have you ever stopped to think about what the value is of being the son of God or the daughter of God? Have you ever, do you realize what it means to be kinship with the maker of the universe? Have you ever thought about that? When I went to school in Guyana, I remember I was picked on. Everybody was you're the preacher's kid. Everything I had, I stole the church money to get it. La-di-da-di-da. I used to think to myself, I have more power in me than these people all combined if they conjure up every voodoo spirit that was on this town. Do they realize who they're messing with? Even inside of me at that age, I just knew, I don't really care what you think about me, frankly. But you can keep on blah, 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 all you want. But when it comes down to the wire, guess who they come to for help with all their subjects and stuff? Because we didn't have teachers, right? But we still had to write the same exams of the whole Caribbean. So guess what? You better figure out where you can get the information from anyway. So I used to teach all these crazy people when we had no teachers. So then they all started defending me because I didn't have time to watch my back all day long, who's gonna beat me up next, which nobody ever got to. But the threat was always there. But God had a strategy, because why? I didn't give up on him because I wanted to be friendly to these crazy people who wanted to kill me. I used to have rocks thrown at me when I'd walk down the road to go to school. I actually had one hit my eye the one time. I had to turn back and go back home with me and my sister were walking down the street. Just because I wasn't the right race and I was a Christian. That was their problem. But I never would let that bother me because I know God was almighty. Who would want to give up on God to be with them? That's how I always thought. Really? There is no competition here. You know what I'm saying? And I didn't know as much as I know now about the word. I just knew God was all my, God was God. Heck, if you're in with God, what are you worried about anything else? I just always knew that because he made everything. And if you could just grasp that, just grasp it. That's what the Bible says, you have to come as a child. Sometimes you grow up as adults and we get too complicated. For some reason, now that I'm an adult, God can't possibly understand the complicated issues I have to deal with in this age that I'm living in. Honestly, can we say, been there, done that, already been there ahead where you're not even going to be here when there is, and done that too? And now he's come back just to walk it out with you? Really, he doesn't really need to have to do that, but he is. That's the God that you accepted as Father. So if we're going to say we are the son and daughter of God, we better behave like we are. And make our mind so renewed from that crazy garbage that nobody's condemnation could ever even hit light on you. It couldn't even like it's better than water off of a duck's back. It's like oil and water. You need to make it like, that's how you need to look at the flesh and the spirit. It's like oil and water. They just don't mix. So if you're trying to dabble between the two for direction in your life, for your self-esteem, for who you are in Christ, you can't say, I am this in Christ, and then you're like leaning over to the other guy. What did you say about me? That doesn't work. It's not about having a thick skin. It's about having a renewed mind. That's how you get rid of condemnation, guilt, and shame, okay? So we see here that both these women, these girls, they're both having the same flesh issue. It's just outside. It's deceptive. Nobody would know, but it's the same thing. They're both having the same problem. All right, number two. You have to develop. So let's say you make the choice. I'm choosing Holy Spirit. The next thing you have to do is you have to develop a trust relationship with Him and not develop a familiar relationship with the past. Your past should be so vague to you. Like if somebody came as a reporter to get details about your past, you'd be like, you know what? That's like so long ago. I don't remember half the stuff. But let me tell you about what's happening in my future. Have you ever thought of that? Renew your mind to that. When Doug and I do marriage counseling, we have to like remember and think about now, what was it that we had issues with in the beginning of our marriage so we could at least help them along, like, you know, make sure you fix these things so you don't have these issues. We don't remember. Because once we get a problem, we say there needs to be a solution and this problem should never happen again. If it happens again, one of us didn't fix something inside. Which one is it? Do you know what I'm saying? I am not into having the same problem with you or me having the same problem for the rest of our life. Are you kidding me? Now, one that brings strife and cause conflict, that is unacceptable. No. And if I have to point it out to you, then you have to take it. If he has to point it out to me, I have to take it because we need to shape up because we know it's wrong. You know, we know the other person is right. So we just need to zip it and deal. That's being mature. Okay? But you can't want the desire of the flesh and then ask the Holy Spirit to lead you. That's just crazy. It's not going to work because your flesh is going to tell you you can't do what the Holy Spirit's telling you to do. The flesh is just going to be too weak to handle that. You know how Paul said that the spirit is willing but the body is weak? Yeah. That's how it always is. So if you're following the flesh is always going to be too weak to do what is required for your future. The flesh is always going to be too weak. No matter how much weight you lift and how much healthy food you eat, the flesh is always going to be too weak because it is hooked into the way you think, the mindset. Okay? So number two, you have that. You have to choose to trust the Holy Spirit and not trust your past. Whether your past was good or bad, you still can't trust it because you're building on the flesh again. Okay? Number three, you have to learn His voice and learn how to hear it in any situation, above any sound, and under any amount of pressure. Condemnation is heavy, isn't it? It like weighs a lot. We're talking tons of burdensome. What's wrong with you? I'm just so awful, really? Well, then leave my presence because I don't want to deal, you know, anyway. But condemnation is heavy. When it comes into a room, it wants to take over. It just wants to take over. It wants everybody to be like, oh my gosh, let's all feel sorry for our condemned friend today. Okay. So, let's talk about the antidote right here, I want to bring in the antidote. We said the antidote, Galatians 5:1, is an antidote. Give yourself a shot of that. Anytime condemnation is trying to take over in your mind, you give yourself a shot, a booster shot. Galatians 5:1. We have to recognize the freedom that comes with Holy Spirit leading us. Now, the past, whether it's good or bad, will still condemn your future, because if it was good, let's say you were the number one sales rep for your company last year. Do you know how much pressure it is to try to keep that up this year? I mean, really. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. I get a good thing to be a number one again this year. But it will bring with it condemnation. Because if you didn't do what you did the year before, you're going to condemn yourself because you weren't as good. What if the Holy Spirit has a whole different direction? What if you're not supposed to be in sales this year? What if you're supposed to be in something else? Have you ever thought of that? Do you understand what I'm saying? When we look at the past, we will look at works, right? But the works aren't done in faith because we're looking at our past. We're not looking to the Holy Spirit who carries the Word of God with Him. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing what words? The words of the past? No. Hearing the Word of God, right? So if we are looking at our past, whether good or bad, we are not going to be looking, when our future is not being walked out in faith. It's being walked out by experience. So when we follow the Holy Spirit, you can come into a new field with zero experience and still be the best. Because it's the Holy Spirit who has the experience of the universe. Imagine the Holy Spirit was there when everything was nothing. Genesis 1, when everything was nothing, and everything was everywhere, and there was no light. And the Holy Spirit just needed the Word of God to activate His genius of putting everything in place. You know what I'm saying? And so here we are. Oh, how did I do it last year again? Tell me, I don't want to miss a point. Oh my God. All right, where are we? Number three, right? You have to learn the voice of the Holy Spirit. So the voice of the Holy Spirit will be familiar to you because you're reading the words of God. They sound the same. They're on the same frequency level. You understand? So if you're not reading your Bible for yourself, but at night in bed and during the day when you have nothing to do, you're sitting and you're meditating on your past, you know? You're meditating on this, I feel this pain here, and you know what? It's the same thing my mom said she felt about my age. Mm-hmm. Oh my. Does that sound like the past? Yeah. You know, your marriage has a little, like, thing in it, like your aunt who got a divorce. You're like, mm-hmm, I see it coming. I better do something now before. But you didn't bother to check with the Holy Spirit. You know, you're just going based on the past. You see the numbers come in. Your job, you know, you get a job, and it is making more money than anybody in your family ever made. And so you are like, glorying in it, in your thoughts, like, oh, nobody could do what I could do. Like, look at me. I don't even have the education, or I'm the only one that has this education in the family. You know, and like, wow, I worked really hard to get here. And like, those are the thoughts. You're like, oh, look at me, how glorious it is. That's still the past. I'm not saying to not rejoice in things in your life, because the Bible says, rejoice with those who rejoice, right? Mourn with those who mourn. But I'm saying it's not how your mind gets set for the future. Rejoice in things. Absolutely celebrate things. I do. Celebrate things. And you know who you bring the past up to? A victory? Because that's what Abraham did, right? When God said, you're going to have a son, you know, your wife's going to get pregnant, all of that. Abraham considered the goodness of God that had already happened to him. And he considered those things, and that's how he was able to have faith for the future. Now, that's what Abraham had. He didn't have the Bible like we do. So he had to meditate on the words of God from the past. See, there's a difference, right? He's meditating on God's actions from the past. And that built up the faith in him. You understand? So when you meditate on the past, let it be the miracles that God did for you. Let it be the winds that came through God's ways, not how you maneuvered it. There's a difference, right? But if you're sitting there going about all your accomplishments, how great thou art in your head, you are an open field for condemnation, guilt, and shame to come in. Because you will become a victim of the outside pressure of condemnation. So, all weekend long, you are meditating. How great I am. How great I am. And you come to church, and somebody pointed out a flaw. And then you start thinking, I'm not perfect. Oh, terrible. Not perfect. And you start self-condemning. And your whole party just got ruined. Because you feel like great, you know, like I'm awesome. But see, because you didn't build it up on the word, your awesomeness got like poked with one little thing of. See what I'm saying? All right. Number four. Okay, here's key. This is key. You have to agree with the Holy Spirit's voice when you hear it. If you don't agree with his voice, then you're just like, you know how the Bible says about a clanging cymbal, the noisy gong, right? So it's one thing to know what the Holy Spirit's voice sounds like. It's another thing, and then to hear it. It's another thing to actually agree with it. Until you agree with it, it does nothing for you. You have to agree with it that it is true, what he is saying. But you can't agree with that if the flesh is telling you something different and you listen to the flesh. Do you see what I'm telling you? So you have to agree with the Holy Spirit, and it might be off the charts crazy because nobody in your family, nobody in the place you live, in your town, nobody in your state or your country ever did what the Holy Spirit says, this is what we're preparing you to do. I mean, Billy Graham celebrated his 96th birthday yesterday. How awesome. You know, there's no accusation that's ever been brought against that man. Like, I mean, he's the most popular Christian we know. He went and prayed with so many presidents. He's been from the White House down to the ghetto of places that he spoke in, that his voice carried in. I mean, can you believe this? And we're talking multiple times. But because of him following the Holy Spirit and the wisdom of God in his life, he had things set up where the enemy couldn't bring an accusation against him and let it stick. They planned, but none of the weapons prosper. Right? And see, that is awesome. That's somebody that follows the Holy Spirit. And you know, he didn't get saved until he was, I think 13 or something. Older, 17 or something like that, yeah. 16 or 17. And so he made that choice on his own. Like, his parents were Christians, but he wasn't. He would like laugh and scoff at them and stuff. But he did, I mean, when he changed, he changed. And he got hungry, and he like eat up the stuff. Isn't that amazing? But he followed the Holy Spirit. I love that movie they made of him, Billy, the early years. I just love the movie. It's just cute. I don't know if he authorized it or not, but it was a cute movie. It's pretty close to his life thing. Okay, and the last one, number five. Your flesh will always fight for its place in your life. And the Spirit will always fight for its truth in your life. The flesh is always fighting for a place. The spirit is always fighting for the truth. There's a difference. So when you in your head are thinking positionally, like, I should be the boss. I should be in charge. If it were me, this is how I would do it. Right there, just give it a little boot, because that's the flesh. When Jesus was tempted by Satan in the wilderness, Satan was tempting Jesus' ability to do powerful things. And he was tempting him positionally too. Remember, he said, if you would bow to me, I'll give you all the kingdoms or whatever. Okay. Jesus had no desire of the flesh in him, because we know that he didn't even like entertain it. But we know Jesus was hungry, because he said he was hungry. He hadn't eaten for 40 days. But even in hunger, and one of the temptations being, you can eat if you use your power to turn these stones into bread, Jesus did not follow the instruction of the flesh. He followed the Holy Spirit, because the Bible said he was full of the Holy. The Holy Spirit led him there. The Holy Spirit knew how to get him what he needed without the help of the flesh master, Satan. Because then when Satan left for a season, right? The Bible says for a season, angels came and ministered to Jesus. That's how much Jesus listened and followed the instruction of Holy Spirit. Jesus was not exempt from making the choice to follow Holy Spirit or flesh. His immediate past was that he didn't eat for 40 days and he was hungry. That's reality. The Bible didn't say, oh, he had supernatural provision inside his belly that just burst open every day because he was God. No, he had a flesh body that needed food. And he still followed Holy Spirit. And he received what he needed. Because the Bible says when he left full of the power of the Holy Spirit, right? Read it and you'll see it again. None of it, here's the deal. How do I put this gently? Okay. If your whole life involves using up your spiritual strength to fight your flesh stuff, and you're just like, I'm in a battle again. I'm done. Honest to God, you have not killed the desire of the flesh in that matter, whatever the matter is. Because if you were walking on by the Holy Spirit, you would leave the situation full of power. Understand? Not zapped of like, oh, please pray for me. I'm just going through. You just don't know. Here we go with the drama again. Understand? So when you are living by the Holy Spirit, when things happen that the devil is bringing to, you know, mess things up, you get pretty ticked off in the spirit realm. Yeah. And you kind of like give him a couple of shots of what your freedom feels like and looks like and sounds like, and you keep doing what you do. And if you're telling me that the power of the Holy Spirit is not good enough to work after you say it, do it, use it, then you're hooked into some wrong power. You ever remember that commercial, that infomercial that said, set it and forget it? That guy, what was his name again? Ron Popeil. I remember in Guyana they would show these infomercials. I have no idea why, because we had no ability to order anything except salivate a chicken going around and around in this rotisserie thing. of which we couldn't eat any of it because chicken was very difficult to get to. So we're looking, all everybody's watching their TV. Set it and forget it. You think, if we get one of that in Guyana, the power will go out. Your chicken will, 4 hours later, it's raw. You can't get it out because you set it and you forget it. But the thing is, in your life, there needs to be some things that are just set. So you're not waking up every day fighting the same flesh. If you're waking up every day fighting the same flesh issue, you are not walking by the Holy Spirit's power in that thing. You may be in other things, but there's an instruction from Holy Spirit that you are ignoring, and there's a lust in your flesh that you keep filling, and you feel good because it fills you up, and you get your dose for the day. And those are the things that bring condemnation. So here's your assignment. I want you to look at what things on the outside make you feel condemned. So whether it's people, situation, perfection. And then I want you to look at inside, where nobody knows, your little thinking tent that you have set up marked, mine and mine alone. Only I know about this. Nobody else has gone through this. It's just me. That one, I want you to look at the inside condemnation. And you will find that because you have those two working, they do work together. Because I'll tell you what, if you self-condemn, everybody that feels condemned have themselves been condemning themselves. So the two kind of come together. So what you do is you get mad at somebody that condemns you. And here's why you're mad, because they're agreeing with your thoughts that you've already been thinking about yourself. So you're ticked off that somebody actually is telling you that you're fat. How dare them, when you yourself are thinking in your head, I'm so fat and so ugly, what am I going to do? Well, what do you want to yell at the person for? You are just like thinking that yourself. I used to be called fat every day of my life. I was 120 pounds and 5'9". Are you kidding me? But in my culture, I'm fat and big. I used to smile and say, thank you. Because as far as I'm concerned, the amount of guys that used to chase me around, that told me that fat was working pretty darn good for me. So I had no self-condemning thought about how fat I was. But I wasn't fat. Over here, you know how many people would like to be 120 pounds, 5'9"? Are you kidding me? Yeah. But not where I was from. That was called fat. So every time family members would see me or somebody would see me for a long time, they'll come up to me and say, oh my gosh, you got so fat again. Nice to see you too. Thank you. So, but if I was trying to prove them wrong, that you think I'm fat and ugly, but let me tell you about all the boys that love me, I would have got myself into some serious trouble. Because I would have accepted the luring desires of the boys just to prove a point. I didn't have any point to prove. And in case here's some tips I have for you. This is how I do it. You can decide however you want to do it. When somebody condemns me in whatever way, my position, my gender, my race, my education, my big mouth, you know, whatever, I always look at them and I think, you know, if I feel condemned at all, which has been rare, I mean, honestly, it is, you have to feel some form of conviction at times in your life, you know, so you can change something, and that has to come from the Holy Spirit. But if I feel condemned at all, I stop and I go, wait a minute, something is off here. That means I'm thinking something about myself that's not true, so I need to fix that. But the other thing is, I always look at the source. If somebody is correcting something in me in their way, however they say it, and they are successful in that thing, you know? They're successful, and their success is based on their spiritual walk with God, because there's fruit. When somebody is spiritually walking with God, there's fruit. There's evidence of fruit, because the Bible says, by their fruit we shall know them, right? If their fruit shows the fruit of the Spirit at a high level of maturity and et cetera, and they really have a voice in that arena, I take it as correction, not condemnation. There's a difference. And I would actually self-correct. And that's when I would ask them questions. Well, how do you do that? What do you do? How, what should I do? if somebody is telling me something I should be, and they're not even close to it, they have no fruit, they're a barren tree of it, then I simply ignore them. Or I may turn it right back around and say, you know, you need to look at the mirror yourself. Okay? So those are some things, but you have to diffuse these situations right away. You can't take it away from the scene and go think about it. Because you know why? When you start thinking about something, it is renewing your mind. That's how you renew your mind. You put information in and think about it all the time. So if you leave a situation where you have a problem with somebody and you just take it away and start thinking about it, guess what? If you didn't have a problem with them, you now do. The problem is it's manufactured. It's not true. Because there wasn't that problem. You just created it. With the power of your mind. Positive thinking. Yeah, gone wrong. Because none of it's based on the word. You see what I'm saying? So you have to make that choice. And so we're doing the outside, inside, and then your solution, instruction. The place the solution is coming from is Holy Spirit. Do not look at your past for a solution. You have to look at the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will teach you all things. Didn't anybody say he'd teach you all things? Right? And the Lord set in his body, he set teachers, apostles, prophets, he set people in his body with the gift of teaching, the gift of prophesying to you, the gift of apostle, meaning starting something. And you understand what I'm saying? So you have these tools all available to you on the side of Holy Spirit. On the side of the flesh, you have the grave, you have death, you have condemnation, you have historical data of sickness and disease, all that nonsense. Right? So the choice is yours. Two roads. You got oil and water and whatever. But you have the flesh and you have the spirit and you make that decision. All right?